Well, lots of things that have already been said in words of the songs, and some things that what Noah chose, especially what Joe chose for a song for us to hear. There was that one line in the song by Casting Crowns, the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth tells me a different story. And this really goes so right along with what the message is going to be about today. And I hope that you can hear this, hear it with ears that hear and a heart that takes a hold of things. And those are choices that we make. If you or I are passive hearers, if it's the kind of slouch, slouching while you're listening, you're not going to get as much. You might get something, but you're not going to get what you really can get out of a conversation. You and I need this, and I thought the choice of songs there at the beginning were just so good. Send your fire and send your rain. We have to have a zeal. You take a hold of something when there's a zeal for it. When you really want something, you're going to get something out of a situation. If you're really looking for something, you really desire it, you really need it, you really want it, then it will be yours as you take a hold of it. Isn't that true? So I hope that you feel that way about the Word of God and what the Word of God can do. We're having numbers of weeks. I know Reggie has especially been saying this in prayers and in exhortations at the beginnings of services, where he talks about the need for us to change. And here we have that song in Send Your Fire. Send the wind that brings heaven's change. I don't want to change for the sake of changing. I don't want to change things about how things happen in our church, what goes on in my life, how things are, just going from day to day. If it's just change for the sake of change. But I do want heaven's change. I do want to be able to have a heart that's sensitive enough that when God is moving me in a direction, that I move in that direction. Right? I mean, what greater thing is there in this life? And I want to talk about it. Change. I was thinking about this whole thing about change. And I thought, change happens in our life when we change our thoughts about something. That's where it starts. It starts with a change of thinking. Right?
Yeah.
And then it's when we think differently about something, then we tend to move in that direction and we act differently. Right? And if that starts to happen on a consistent basis, it becomes our attitude. It becomes a habit pattern. It gets strengthened. The more that you do something, the stronger you get in that, right? This is why practice is important in the realm of sports. The more you take those foul shots, the easier it is to start hitting your foul shots. Right?
Yeah.
Practicing, working in that area, putting action to it. What gets you there to begin with is the thought that this is what I want to do. I want to be a soccer player. I want to be able to score goals. Well, how are you going to get there? Well, then there's some actions that you got to go through. Life isn't, this is what I want, and then it just happens to you. Is it? You have to move toward what, where your thoughts begin to take you, right? You have to have heaven's thoughts to move toward heaven. You getting that? Now I want to talk today about, you know, the last few weeks where I've preached, I've talked about vision, right? That this is going to be a year of vision, and that the words that are going to come are going to open up our vision, open up our understanding about ourselves, about the world, about what's coming up, about prophecy, about all the things that that deal with this life and where we are in the timetable of things. All of these things are happening, and they're going to open up to us this year in a way that hasn't opened up before. Okay? So now, I want you... Well, you don't have to turn to it. I'm just going to read you this. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Now, what does that mean? What do you think that means? As a man thinks in his heart, so he is.
You think.
Yeah, wasn't that funny how in one of the songs there it was talking about... did I write that down? If you see me writing during worship time, if you happen to look over and you see me and I'm sitting there and you're wondering, why is it Malcolm worshiping? I am worshiping. I'm just excited about things that are said because I write little things down. I don't know if I wrote this down. I don't see it.
About here. Winning.
Huh?
About
winning. Yeah, you know, about being thought of. I guess it went with that voice of truth. The voice of truth tells us a different story than what we think about ourselves. From what you were saying there about feeling like you're a loser, or feeling you have thoughts that come to you and box you in and make you and keep you in the dark about who God is, what He's doing in your life, what you can do, where you can go, and lots of thoughts either trap you or free you. Isn't that true?
Yes.
And I think it's really important for us to not be like most people in this world that are in the dark. You know, they're in the dark. And I think for lots of Christians, we don't realize what really is out there before us. We don't really realize what God has already given us. You know, we know we're saved, we know we're going to heaven, but there's so much more than that. I mean, that's enough. But there's so much more. And because our thoughts don't go in that direction, we don't think on those things as much. I mean, I think I've thought more about the Patriots this week and all the stuff that's happened with them than I have about myself and my relationship with God. It seemed like days and days went by and I was all worked up about the Patriots thing. You know, the deflate gate there, or whatever they call it. Isn't that terrible? But can't we get like that? You know, where we can become so distracted about the things of this life. As though that really means anything. But you know what does mean something? You and me. And our relationship with God that's going to go on for eternity. This life is going to pass away. This world is going to be rolled up rolled up and put away. And we're going to have a whole new world, and we're going to have a... Isn't that a wonderful thought? And we're going to have a whole new age where righteousness dwells, where people get along, where people love one another, and we know how to relate with one another, and everybody's looking out for the other person and not themselves. You know, it's like what Reggie was saying about, you know, I am second, you know? All of these little things that were said, I'm going, oh man. And I said, how am I going to remember all that stuff? And I'm not quick enough to write everything down all the time, but this is the life that's out in front of us, you know? Now I want to talk to you today. I'm going to give you one more thing, and then I'm going to get to the heart of the message.
Is that the truth?
There's a movie out called American Sniper, and there's lots of controversy about it right now. But so I was watching something on TV about American Sniper and about Bradley Cooper taking that role, and somebody made the comment, and it hit me, and I knew it was something to share with you, and it goes with the message, and that's this. They said that roles can change a person, an actor, you know. An actor has to put himself or herself into the character of the person they're portraying. Now, I want you to remember that as I go along. Putting themselves into the character, and they really get immersed in the character of the role that they're playing, and you can get so much into it, and you begin to so much identify with that character, with that role, that it becomes part of you. Now that is happening on a one level. It's in the intellectual, emotional level. I want to talk about the spiritual level as well. Now, so keep that in mind. The role that you see, that you're living, can affect how you're going to live the life that you have. The way you see yourself. A vision of yourself. Right? Isn't this true though? Now this is all the build up for what I'm going to give you now. Okay. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this: "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Now, this is what God says is the role that we're to play. This is a description of the character that God says you can now move in. We all talk about change, and I wish I wasn't this way, or I wasn't that way. We know that there's some problems with our nature. Yeah?
Yes.
I hope we all can say that. And because there is, we want to be different. We do look to be changed. God's put that inside of us for us to see our weaknesses, for us to see that we're not perfect, right? And so we talk about change, we look for change, and we want heaven's change to take place, okay? So God tells us already, if we want to listen to what God says is who we are, God says we're a new creature. In other places, it says in Galatians 2:20, I think it is, it talks about how it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You see? This is the kind of people, this is the role that we're to play in this world. All the world's a stage. Right? You know that from Shakespeare. All the world's a stage. It's really true. There's a role to play. And our role is that we're to be second. And Jesus is to be first. And the life that we can live because there's this great mystery that Christ is in us, our hope of glory. Now, do you really think about that? I mean, are you trying to look inside and see where Jesus is? You know, and lots of times, you know, we've talked before about how there's indications that Jesus isn't there. By the way we act. Right?
Yeah.
But God says, the word of truth says something different to me. You know how when you mess up in life, you can get down on yourself. Christians can get down on themselves. And yet the word says something different. The word says that Christ does live in us. You hear that? And so when things get bumpy, we've got to remember these kinds of things to get us up and out of that hole that we've just dug by our choices, by our thought patterns, and think a different way. Because only getting up above those kinds of dark thoughts are going to allow us to move in the right way and to change according to heaven's change. Amen? You with me on this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Just a few little examples here from the Word of God. And, you know, I think the things I'm going to say here, I think that we really need to remind ourselves every day. We need to get our thoughts, or you know, locked in, clicked in to these things, because we really need to remember who we are, who God says we are, and what He's given us, so that we don't get taken out by the things of this world, taken out by the discouragements and problems of this life. Because like we've said so many times, things are not getting better in the world. The world is sliding faster and faster down a deep slide. And the world, in their darkness, needs people that are people of light. That people that have a bright countenance, not because they're trying to put something on, or that that's what how they should be, but that's how, what's really going on inside their heart. Amen.
Amen?
Amen? So, here we have in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. This is what God says is our role. This is what He's given us. This is how it should play out in our life. This is how we need to think about ourselves. Not in a prideful way, but I think I'll explain this in a little bit about the pride thing. But we do have to know these things. You are a chosen generation. We've been chosen by God. We've been set apart. In other words, what does the word saint mean? Set apart ones. The saints are people that have been set apart. They've been chosen by God for particular purposes. We're saints. It's not like how man twists things around and says that only certain people are saints, and takes the whole concept of saint and makes it into something that it's not. Every single person in here, if you are a believer in Christ, you have been chosen by God. Because of your choice, He's chosen you. Because of your belief and faith in the work of Jesus on the cross, He has chosen you and me for particular purposes. That should make us say, well, amen. There's something good about my life. I'm not just a piece of refuse that makes all these stupid mistakes. I make stupid mistakes. But there's something there that I can, if I learn how to grab hold of it, I can become something greater. You know? This is what's out here for us. And we're going to have to be people that aren't just listening to this, but that we really apply this. You and I need to think about who God is and who He's made us to be already. What our role is in the world. Because it's grand. As I've gone through that, it's grand. He's chosen us. We're a chosen generation of people. I like that. Don't you like it? I know when I was a kid and we were playing baseball in the summer with the kids in our neighborhood. And the two people that were going to be the captains, and they were going to choose the sides, you know. So they'd start choosing. You hated to be the last one chosen, you know. Or not chosen at all, because, no, we don't even want him on the team. Right? We're chosen. You've been chosen by God. And that should be something that you think about from time to time, especially when your mind starts sliding, that you're unworthy, that you're no good, that your life doesn't mean anything. No. According to the word of truth should tell you a different story than those dark thoughts that are moving your head.
Those are lies.
Now, what gets us is because we see evidence by the choices we've made, by dumb decisions, by, falling into that darn sin that so easily entangles us. And so we classify ourselves and we give up in certain areas of our life. We give up on God. We give up on that relationship. We give up on yourself, you know, and because we've identified with that dark thought, don't we? We have evidence for it. But God says that there can be something different. You can change. And I think it was Julie that said, you know, that's our decision. We make that choice. We make the choice to either move toward the light or toward the darkness, don't we? So, we're a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. What's royal? What's royal?
Kingly.
Kingly. What's that like?
I don't know.
None of us are kings. How would we know? But I'm going to ask you this question. When you think of kings, you think of royalty. What are the we're not going to get into the negatives, because there's negative because people are human, and they can be haughty, and they can not be who they should be. But according to what the Bible says, how would you describe what it would mean to be royalty? How would you act? Some people came in and they said, we've just found some records. You are of the royal house of Liechtenstein or someplace. And we want you to come and we want you to be the king or the queen of that country. Why would you do that?
Because people look up to you.
You're supposed to set,
an example.
That has something to do with example. And didn't Joe talk about that too?
Yes.
About, you know, this role, now when Joe was talking about it, he was talking about his position as a deacon. But, you know, we all have a role in the body of Christ, don't we?
Yes.
And we all have to sit up straight. Don't we? Because we're examples to one another. And like what Joe was saying, you know, he says, if I'm looking at you and I'm going to follow what you're doing, you better be doing the right things, right? Because we do. We're examples to one another. We have to be good examples. Well, is there anything else about royalty that comes to mind? What else about the way you should be as a person in terms of royalness?
Authority, but that doesn't...
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. You know we have authority.
How about laziness? Well, no, the royal people don't do it.
No, I'm not talking about the bad things. Because of the human nature, royal people can tend, because they have all these servants, they can tend to be lazy, they can tend to rely on other people. But that isn't what we're talking about. We're not talking about, I'm talking about the things that if God says to us that we're a royal priesthood, and therefore kings and priests unto God, right? Well, he must mean it in a different way than that. How does God mean that to us? And for us to think that way about ourselves. What are you going to say?
Well, if we have authority, we have responsibility.
Yes.
Over a lot of different things, but I think mainly to be the example.
Yes.
To others.
Yes.
Of what a royal person should act like. You have authority. That requires a lot of humility, I think.
Yes. Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
And empathy. Because a lot of people depend on you.
Okay.
You have to be a good leader.
Got to know how to lead.
You have to be you're representing your country and you're representing Christ.
And in our sense, we're representing the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
You better walk according to that.
Yes.
And
okay.
You have to be servants because you're servants.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, your Lord, your servant.
Okay, the next thing in this list, I don't want to drag it out too much here. A holy nation. Holy nation. Holy? Us?
Yep.
Yeah. Because of Christ, right? So when our thoughts are going in a direction that it shouldn't, or we've already entered into some action that we shouldn't have moved toward, we've got to remember, hey, wait a minute. My role as a saint is to be holy. Be holy as I am holy, saith the Lord, right? This isn't a prudish thing that we're talking about here. We're talking about having a heart and a sensitivity to the Spirit of God and listening to Him and just moving in where He wants us to go. And when we do fail, not to get down on ourselves, but remember that God is there for us to forgive us our sins if we're faithful and just, to forgive, to confess our sins to Him, right? I want us to be able to walk out of here today and from now on, that not that we have a haughty bearing, but that we walk with the understanding, the bearing, the straight back of knowing that we're more than just mere men. And I'm not saying this with haughtiness. I'm not saying this with pride. When you know who you are, and you know that there's responsibility, and you move because of love and wisdom, then you're not being taught, right? People think that to be a Christian, when you say that you have to be humble, lots of people have man fear. It isn't that they're humble. They're afraid of what other people are going to think. Why do we get so nervous? Or why does something just inside of us just clam us right up when we think that we should say something and then we don't? Because we're afraid it's not going to be the right thing, or it's not going to be accepted, or we compare what we're going to say to what somebody else has already said. And it doesn't measure up in our own minds. So we have this man fear. And it's pride. And lots of times, humbleness, pride, is disguised as humbleness, when that isn't what it is. And God wants us to get out of our box, get out of the chain of being wrapped up in our own self-pride. I hope you get this.
Yeah. I just read a devotion on humble. It said, it's not humble, it's humble yourself. And humble yourself means that you listen to the Lord and do as he says. That's humbling yourself, or humbling yourself and providing a need. But it was just, it just showed a thing of, because the Bible says, be humble, not, you are humble, be humble.
Yeah, you have to make that choice, and it becomes an action. The thought of I need to be humble has to have with it some kind of action. Well, what's that action going to deal with? Well, that action is going to be that you play out the role that God has given you. And God wants us to speak. God wants the church to be the salt of the earth. And when we're not, we get trampled underfoot by men. Mm-hmm. Is that happening these days? You know why? Because the church is man. We've become, in the general sense, man pleasers. We don't want to be thought a certain way. We don't want to be thought of as intolerant. We don't want to be thought of as too extreme. And you'll see in society, they're using this extremist word, extremists, because they want to classify anybody that has zeal as an extremist. Now, there's some bad zeal and there's some good zeal. Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, but aren't we supposed to stand proud, though? You know, as Christians?
Yeah, there's a certain kind of... The pride that we're talking about, a godly pride is being lifted up, because pride deals with being lifted up, right? God says, if you humble yourself, I will lift you up, right? So there is a godly sense of being built up that has nothing to do with you trying to make yourself number one. God lifts you up and builds up a thing in you and me when we're just doing what he wants us to do. And we humble ourselves from going our way and we turn to what God wants us to do, to speak, to witness, to pray, to take time to go and do help this person over here, some act of kindness or whatever, instead of coming up with an excuse not to do it. Yeah? I have down here, and I love this. Let's go to James 4. James chapter 4. Because it goes right along with what we're talking about here. It says, James 4, verses 6 through 10. But he gives more grace, ability to do, right? You get it? An unmerited favor. And that favor means he gives to you of himself to be able to, if you're not trying to do something in your own strength, in your own mind, in your own zeal, but you're doing it because of what he has, what he's given you at the time, right? Then we have the power that we need. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. See, we got to believe this, don't we?
Yes.
Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I think much of the church, every single one of us, from time to time, maybe more times than we want to admit, we're double-minded. Mm-hmm. We believe in the Lord, we trust in God, but we also find these other things, and we find pride raising up, and we find spiritual laziness, and we see all these different things that we don't like, and we can't get past that. And it says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and let your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. That was just what we were talking about a little bit.
He gives us grace.
This is we're a people of grace. That means we all have ability. God's ability. Christ in us. And we should be excited about that. Because
when we start to really think of ourselves
as that Christ is in us, that it's no longer me who lives, but it's Christ that lives in me, and it's not just some scripture verse that we've memorized or that we recognize, but that we really believe that. We really think about that. Take some time to think about what God has put in you of himself. He's put everything of himself in you and me. Because we have Jesus inside of us. Jesus is inside of us. The Spirit of God is inside of us. We're not Jesus. We're always underneath, that we're not at his level. Because we're who we are. But we can live the life that Christ has for us as we connect with his life. And that's a great thing for us, isn't it? The world, this dark world, needs people who are the light. And we can't just think about it. We have to contemplate. You and I have to think about this longer than 3 seconds. Or if you think that you know all about what has just been read in the scriptures, you're fooling yourselves. I'm fooling myself. If I think I understand that completely, and my understanding of it is this much, and that's all I need to know. No, that's all I want to be bothered to know. You know what? That's all you're bothered to know. Just enough. But no, I better not think about this too much. This is important for us. You know, on our church website, the scripture that's on the church website, does anybody know what it is?
Philippians.
Yeah. It's Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
That's the scripture that we have as the touchstone for our church website. Now, if you and I put that up there. Well, maybe you didn't want it up there. I don't know, but it's a good scripture, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what identifies us, or that's what we look to, then we need to be people that really press toward the mark, and that requires us to contemplate about these things. Who are we anyway? Who are you? It's not what the world and your experiences have told you you are. We've just gone down through some of the things that God says that you are. God says that you're chosen. God says you're a royal priesthood. God says that you're a special person in his sight. God says that you're light in a dark world. God says that we are more than conquerors, that we are victorious. That's what God says about us. He says a bunch of other things, too. Yeah, I mentioned about the salt. God says we're holy. I just wanted to make sure I covered some of those things. So, for us, today, that we recognize what role God says that we have. And that we allow that role to be like
Bradley Cooper has done.
You know? He immersed himself into the character. We need to immerse ourselves into the character of God that God says we are. The more that we identify that way, the more we're going to go that way. The more we really will change. Because we've changed our thoughts, and those thoughts will produce the actions that are going to actually change us as people. You know, gee whiz, I wish I could be more like so-and-so, or I wish I could be do this, or I wish I could put that aside, but I really have a lot of trouble with that. No, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Those words aren't just flowery little sentiments. It's the word of truth, and the word of truth speaks something different to us than what we think about ourselves. Isn't that right? And really, today I hope that we start to make a change in the way we think. Me, you, that we see ourselves in a different light. Not to lift ourselves up, but to lift Jesus up. Because it's going to be the life of Christ that is going to be expressed that's going to have the impact on the world. Did you have something to say, John?
What I was about to say is it repeatedly says we're supposed to be more Christ-like. That's the role you need to play.
Yes.
How often you step into that and start acting Christ-like, sooner or later,
yeah,
you're going to start being.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's going to impact your life. Yeah. It's going to change.
That's right. When something comes up and you see that you have a choice to make, remember who you are and make the right choice. Or if you make a wrong choice, remember who you are. Ask God for forgiveness. Ask Him to give you more strength, more sensitivity, so that the next time it's not going to sweep you up. You'll be ready. You'll be prepared. That thing will happen, and you won't get caught up in it. And God loves us. He this is where He wants us to go, doesn't He?
Yes.
When He comes back, He's going to say to some of the saints, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Now, every single one of us who are born again believers, we want Jesus to say that to us. He's not gonna just say that to everybody. If we didn't do well done, we're not gonna hear "well done." He's not fake. He's very true. He's going to say what's true. And I don't want to hear some hurtful things. Or for Him not even to say that to me. I hope that's how you feel. Or we're in the wrong place. You know? Let's be serious. Let's be serious about this. Steve, you want to say something?
I remember in high school, I was involved with a number of different plays. And when you stepped on that stage, you were supposed to own your lines. In other words, you didn't need to have your script. In fact, we didn't even have prompters because we had to own our lines. And you became that person. And I can remember, I mean, this is a few years ago. We're coming up on a 50-year reunion. I can still remember some of my lines, you know, from those plays. You know, even Shakespeare. Friends, Romans, countrymen, and me, Rias, all that stuff. So you own your lines and you become that person. You're no longer Steve. You're now that person that you're really.
Mm-hmm. We really got to remember that. Hey, we really are a new creature in Christ.
That's right.
We really are new. Mm-hmm. So let's start thinking of ourselves as the new Reggie, the new Kathy, the new Malcolm, the new you. You can be new. Is there anybody here that feels so satisfied with themselves that you don't want to be the new you that Christ wants you to be?
No.
Is there anybody? And if you do feel that way, you're not going to put your hand up because you'd be a little embarrassed. Because everybody would go, "What? You don't want to be different than what?"
But you know what? I think it's easier for other people to see the new you than for you to see the new you.
That is right.
I see a lot of new yous around here.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that isn't happening at all.
Yeah,
but do you understand? There's a thing, and I don't want you to think, we never measure up. No, that isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about having that church on fire kind of attitude, that you and I are never going to be satisfied with where we are in the Lord. That there's always something of a hunger for more.
Press towards the mark.
Right? Press toward the mark. Well, shouldn't we have that? Now,
always.
You can come back and you might say, well, aren't we supposed to be satisfied with where we find ourselves and all of that? There's an aspect of that that's true. Where we are, the Lord says, come as you are. You're listening to that Crowder song on the way up, and he talks about, sings about, come as you are. But we come to Christ in whatever state that we're in. And there's a grace period, and things are just so wonderful and so different. And then God starts to put his finger and wants us to start to change, start to get the idea that we're somebody new. He actually made us somebody new. Why don't you start acting like him? You ever say that to your kids?
Yeah.
Well, God says that to us. This isn't who you really are. Like that, and act like the good kid that you are. And this is what God is saying to us. And he raises the bar. You know, when you know that somebody feels a certain way about you, when you're around that person, you try to act that way. Yeah, well, this person thinks I'm a really kind person. I don't know why, but this person goes on talking. And when you get around that person, you tend to show kindness a little more because you know that's what they expect out of you. I've had so many students, because I've said something about how diligent they are, they weren't that diligent. But I could see that spark in them that they could be that person that would persevere through a learning process, and they were going to get it. And I would say, you're a diligent person. You're a diligent student, and I appreciate that. And you know what that thought did for those kids?
Made them more diligent.
And when they came into my classroom, they felt a little different about themselves. And there was hope. There was a place to aspire to. And they would go to that. God is saying all of these things about who we are. We're, in his eyes, we're a royal priesthood. Man, there's something to aspire to. And you want to please. You want to please him. He wants us to be good soldiers in Christ. There's things I didn't get to today. But there's God sees us a certain way. I hope that we take this and have that aspiring to please our Maker. That this is what's going to motivate us to go in that direction and to set ourselves aside and say, no, I'm going to be the new me. I'm going to be that new creature in Christ. I'm going to put off the old man. I'm going to put on the new. See, we can do that. But every day there's the choices then, because somebody makes fun of you because you say something about the Lord or maybe something else, and you show up. You step back. Well, I don't think that's worth it. When it should be, you see. Because we're pleasing him in our lives. If you want to be that way, you can aspire that way, and you can be we're children of grace. We have the ability to do all of these things. So that whatever this world brings our way, it's not going to move us. We're going in the direction that God wants us to go in. Because we're chosen. We're special. We're holy. And we're going in that direction. And that's all there is to it. Is that right?
Yeah.
So I hope that we have a vision of our identity,
knowing that what the truth is, and we believe this is the truth, that the truth speaks something different than what we see about ourselves. Amen? And let's live this way. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to have some more songs, I guess, now, right? Yes.
I don't know. I just feel like I just listened to a graduation speech.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a good thing.
Oh, okay.
It's like we graduated from primary school and we're going into junior high or something.
The expectations are
while they're coming up, I just want to, I forgot to say that the Bible study this Wednesday is going to be